Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the ball, rugby.
I think he'd probably break my heart next Saturday, beating Munster fellas around Croke Park and trying to be on a dominant Leinster side. We'll see, obviously, about that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball, breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Welcome along. Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. It is October the 17th and it is 7:30. Here's what we have coming up between now and around 9:30 on the show this morning. We'll go through the headlines with you very shortly. A few interesting stories to kick off with on the show today. Keith Friday is what we're calling his appearances here at the end of the week. So we're going to be he's going to be in the studio with us. We'll comb through plenty of bits and bobs. League of Ireland, Liverpool versus Manchester United this weekend, and a few other more lighthearted topics we want to get into it as well. Alan Quinlan then around 10:29, ahead of Leinster versus Munster in the URC at Croke Park, 5:15 p.m. tomorrow is the kickoff time for that one. And then we'll round out the show with a few other stories that we haven't got to earlier in the show. We have Monaghan, Cork and Cavan representatives in the studio this morning. Colin Boothie, good morning.
Hiya, Shane.
And Dara Smith-Nocton, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, lads.
So lads, how are things? How are we keeping?
All very good. Well, yeah. Thanks very well.
I forgot to turn off the fan.
No, leave it. I think it's grand. Yeah, I don't think it interrupts. If it does interrupt, let
nice.
Us know.
Your hair is like blown in the wind.
I actually moved it slightly. You might notice that I moved it slightly so that it wouldn't come full the way around to me because my hair would stay. Because obviously I'm a bit of a egotistical diva, so I needed the hair not to be moving during the show.
But in your defence, it is in your contract.
It is.
You actually threatened to leave.
I did.
Just before the show started there.
Some of our longer haired colleagues, it really flowed quite well. Yes. They could have got, dare I say, sponsorship off of it. You know, it was that good. But it's very nice effect for us, you see, because it's cooling. Because you might have noticed, dear viewers and listeners, that it has been positively roasting in the studio for what feels like months now. But it's getting better.
We need the, do you know, like in Breaking Bad, in these shows where they cross the border into Mexico and the filter changes slightly?
Resolution.
They need to do the same for us when the heat is quite hot in the studio. We need to look like we're in Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. As opposed to the normal studio. If someone could arrange that, that would be great. But yeah, that was just my Friday thought at 7:32 a.m. this morning.
and there's so much to think about.
There is.
On this Friday.
There's a lot happening this weekend.
Loads.
Sporting sets.
So we have two massive games anyway to get stuck into. Never mind that the League of Ireland could be decided tonight and probably will be. It really should be. Shamrock Rovers have two ways of winning the Premier Division this evening.
Yeah.
By getting the job done themselves or hoping that Derry don't in their job. So I know we'll talk to Keith Friday about that. And then the other thing is that we have the Munster and Leinster teams for tomorrow evening at Croke Park, 5:15 kickoff. And I'm sure we'll discuss Liverpool and Manchester United too, so it all just gets stuck into. But we were discussing, the three of us, in our WhatsApp group yesterday, the Munster team.
Yes.
Dara dropped it in. My first reaction was like, Jesus, Nankivell's on the bench.
Yeah.
Klein's on the bench.
Yeah.
And poor old Gavin Coombs, kick him when he's down, Clayton. Left out again, and now left out of this team in favour of Brian Gleeson. And it's a lot to ask, I'd say, of Edwin Odogbo. But Clayton McMillan, very complimentary about him during the week in his cameo last week, his first game in just shy of 2 years, came off the bench, did pretty well. And he's in from the start against Leinster. It's an exciting team. I like the centre partnership with Farrell Dan Kelly, but I was thinking, geez, I don't know what Nankivell has done wrong.
Maybe
it's a sign of Munster strengthening that, you know, extremely good players who have done nothing wrong around the bench.
It's bold. It's like one of those Jody Barrett situations now. If they get hammered and, you know, Dan Kelly misses a few tackles, it's like, well, you have to play your best player. Because Nankivell's been their best player so far, I would say, this season at least. It's exciting though. Odogbo, you'd imagine he plays like 55 odd minutes and then Klein comes on. Klein started every game so far, so I'd say he's feeling a little bit aggrieved of being left out, being left on the bench.
Is it a risk putting Odogbo in? Like, obviously it's a massive game, you kind of have to throw him in, and as you said, he might only do 50-55 minutes, but it's still a, well, it's a risk, but I'm sure Clayton McMillan has calculated the risk.
Yeah, like, they've taken their time bringing him back in to the fold. Like, he has to start at some point, and they obviously feel like he can make a big impact in a big game, so, you know, throw him in there. But yeah, you would be slightly worried. Like, I imagine he won't play the full 80 minutes. That'd be crazy.
You're going to this game tomorrow?
I am.
They say they're hoping for what, 50,000? Is that the latest figure I saw?
Right,
I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it won't be last year. It won't be like sold out last year. But in fairness, like, last year was done after 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Like, how many people who bought tickets are going because it's the Crowley-Prendergast battle? It's the Crowley-Prendergast show. Like, I'd say a lot of people who are maybe neutrals or not a supporter of either team, that's a massive draw.
It's a big sell.
Yeah.
It's a big sell, yeah. The first time they've gone up against each other in a...
That's insane.
In a provincial game, I think. I think I'm right in saying that. So that'll be very interesting. I think it was last year in the Croke Park game where we didn't see it. Everyone was like, when the squads came out, like, what's going on here? This is what everyone's paid to see. Now, we've been robbed.
Yeah. It's a first timer, First timer. Tell me this, right, Dara?
Yeah, go for it.
What do you see as the difference in Crowley and Prendergast games?
Their games.
Yeah.
Well, Crowley is a bit more physicality about him. I think that's pretty obvious. Tackling is slightly better. Prendergast is, I don't think he's put on a whole load of muscle or weight since last season, so his defence still needs a lot of work. But in terms of, we'll look at the attacking side of it, I suppose. Crowley is a stronger runner with the ball. I'd say he's probably a little more settled into his system. Leinster tend to rotate a lot. Munster have a bit this season as well, but I suppose Crowley is missing his starting nine, so that might be pretty influential this season. Don't know how long Casey is due to be out, but he is back for November. So, but Prendergast, I think the talk about Prendergast is just the ability to see space and be able to fix his man is like some of the best in the world, to be honest. But Crowley has that bit more bite about him, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And Prendergast, I don't know if this is a part of his game or if he's just gotten unlucky, but he does have an interception pass in him each game, particularly in big games. So I don't know if that's maybe a bit of inexperience. Like, Crowley's played a lot more rugby than him as well, so he's a lot more experienced, does Crowley. They're both great kickers. Off the tee, they haven't been the best over the last couple of seasons. There's obviously room for improvement there. When you have two young fly halves, that can be the case. We saw that with Rog when he was coming through in Munster in Ireland. But like, I think it'll be as obvious as ever now, tomorrow, as to what the difference is. And I'm sure we'll have a moment or two between them when they do clash on the field. That just really is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, they talk about getting on, and that in Ireland camp they're good mates because they spend a lot of time with each other, same as Frawley. But when it's Leinster versus Munster and you're fighting for that position come November, it's going to be tasty.
You hear people might get tired of this whole Crowley and Prendergast debate, and there's bigger issues to talk about. But there, first of all, I think there is an undeniable interest or obsession, depending on who you talk to, with number 10s in Ireland. But also, I think you're allowed to be excited again about this rivalry because it is the first time they're going to come up directly against each other.
Yeah.
And there will be moments tomorrow which will be great, hopefully.
I wonder, is every country obsessed with their 10s as well?
Well, if you look at France, the 9s run it.
Yeah, true.
You know? If you've seen some of the more prominent rugby podcast headlines over the last week, it's all been, can't wait for this, Crowley versus Prendergast.
Mm. So Leinster are strong.
Very strong.
They've got Jamie Osborne full back. Wingers are Tommy O'Brien and James Lowe, and then the midfield is Ringrose and Henshaw. You have the two boys, the two Ireland boys at halfback, Gibson Park and Prendergast, of course. Van der Fleer back in, or stays in. Conan captain, Soraka. Then you have Snyman, Ryan, and then the front row of Paddy McCarthy, Kelleher and Furlong, with Sheehan and Porter on the bench.
Just a couple of Lions sitting on the bench there.
Ready for roar, you know.
No worries.
It's very strong.
See what you did there.
Dara, as the neutral, what do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow as well. what I think is going to happen. I think the first half will be competitive. I think the second half won't be. That bench is just so strong. I think it'll just start to break down. Munster do have a strong bench as well. So that will be an interesting kind of mini battle within the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, there's so much talent in that, especially in the back line for Leinster. Like,
hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Gibson Park, Prendergast, James Lowe, Robbie Henshaw, Gary Ringrose, Tommy O'Brien and Jamie Osborne.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, scary.
What's your score prediction?
Score prediction?
Yeah.
Leinster don't tend to run up the score against Munster. Really. I'm going to say like 25-16.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't think it'd be a hammering, because I just think Munster have a fairly strong squad as well. I think the back line will get out fought, I think. I don't think it matches up well enough. Like, that back three, quite inexperienced. Takiri Abrahams, Andrew Smith and Shane Daly.
Yeah.
Going up against the likes of James Lowe, Osborne.
Who do you support? As a Cavan man living in Dublin, who do you go to the game tomorrow supporting? Don't tell me you're going as a neutral. You want one team in particular to win and one to lose.
Well, I'll go with the underdog. Like, I'd lean towards Munster.
Okay.
Just because they are underdogs, but
for the sake of Irish rugby too.
The future of Irish rugby.
McMillan talking during the week saying one of his goals is to have more Munster representation in the Ireland squad.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised to hear, and pleasantly so. Didn't think that was his remit, you know.
Yeah.
It was his Munster. I suppose it's all relative. What do you think's going to happen?
I feel like Munster have won all the games this season, and yet they've flattered to deceive in a couple of games, like probably the Edinburgh game. Yeah. And maybe they were lucky enough to get over
extremely,
the line.
Yeah. I mean, Edinburgh had 4 players in the bin.
Yeah.
The game.
But having said that, if you're Clayton McMillan, if you're in a head coach position, it's the perfect position, because you've got the points on the board, and yet you're going into a dressing room that's not overly complacent, that have clearly things to improve on. And if you're going into a game against Leinster, that's the attitude you kind of want to have. You don't want to feel like you're at the top of the mountain looking down.
He's been speaking about the importance of a great start, and you always hear that about managers before big games. Like, sure, of course, like, who wants to start badly?
Mm.
But it is correct in the comparison to this time last year when the start of the game was all over.
It was over.
The thing about Munster last year against Leinster, they actually ended up creating loads of try-scoring opportunities that they butchered throughout the game. But the memory of it is that opening quarter that Leinster just dominated. So if they avoid that, and if it's close, like you say, it already feels like a progress.
Yeah.
A little bit of a progress.
But come
Saturday night, you're going to feel stronger about it at the time from a Munster perspective.
I was on a tour with my team in Paris, actually, for this game last year. And it's UCD, so it's predominantly Leinster supporters, obviously. So we had the game on the bar, and there was one or two Munster lads, and they just had to hang their head in shame after 20 minutes. It was over, like, it was done. It was a tough night for them, but like, I think I don't see them getting beaten out the gate. I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
like, it could happen, but I don't see.
Do you remember how you felt this time last year, the day before?
Oh, it was excitement, but there was definitely a bit of like, this could go one way as well. But like, there's always excitement with this fixture. It's never not an exciting prospect. But
we'll have Quinny all over this.
Yeah.
The other one, probably my favorite game Premier League history. Anfield, Liverpool, Manchester United.
Is it?
Yeah,
right?
I love that game.
Is it your favourite fixture?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think so, because it's like, not that like the game's become sanitised and all that, but it still feels like that's the only game, I feel anyway, where there's pure aggression at times and there's pure tackles flying in. Even like most of the players wouldn't have any association historically with either club. It just feels like there's a rawness to the atmosphere. No, not all the time, and sometimes these are drab occasions, like who can forget... was it Red Monday in 2017?
The Mourinho game.
The game that they built up for about 3.5 months.
That was shocking.
And there was like one chance in the whole match.
Yeah.
So it does happen sometimes, but there's a tension to this game over the years. Like, my memories of it are very mixed, right? So you have like the John Anurisa free kick Do you remember that when it was laid off to him and he pile drives it into the top corner?
Oh yeah.
Steven Gerrard from distance in the same end.
Yeah.
Both past Barthez.
Steven G sent off, wasn't it, after like straight after coming on or
yeah,
it?
That's right. Yeah, that was that the last United victory at Anfield, was that was under Louis van Gaal? Yeah. Was that the one Mata game?
Oh yeah.
Then there was John O'Shea getting the winner. Oh, do you remember that?
Into the cop.
Yeah, yeah. Carlos Tevez another time.
Diego Forlan with a couple.
Diego Forlan got two against Jerzy Dudek. Yeah. Wayne Rooney had a shot that squirted under same goalkeeper's arms, I think.
Yeah.
And then you've had moments in more recent years. It was 2-2 last season, but you've had, remember the game where Phil Jones out of nowhere plays under, was it Ralf Rangnick? It was when they had that class away jersey. It was like one of the only good thing about the game was that they looked the part. But they got beaten out the gap a bit like Munster last year against Leinster. They were like 4-0 down.
Mm.
No time. Do you remember that game? And Phil Jones, I think he got hooked at half time. Poor Phil Jones in the paper again, right, this morning.
All that, yeah.
Like, this guy's brand is misery, like. I needed rhino skin to put up with abuse. Phil Jones opens up and trolls his plans for management and why Ratcliffe's backing of Amorim is flawed. This is in the Irish Daily Mail this morning, right? There he is celebrating his Premier League trophy with Alex Ferguson. At that time, he was thinking, oh, this guy, remember Duncan Edwards was the comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this guy is like, I've heard him tell this story like 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah.
It's like people just want to hear more and more because how terrible was it to be Phil Jones.
Yeah.
Anyway, he played, that was one of the last games he played for United. It was out of nowhere. They're kind of vivid memories of this game, you know?
It's a weird, it's a fixture that, I don't know, like United fans probably look back on it with fond memories of some of those games, but Liverpool fans in recent years have certainly had more fond memories of this one. But
7-0, how can we forget Liverpool? You know, it was a week after the League Cup final in 2023.
Yes.
But there'd be kind of few games these days when you're watching the Premier League that would kind of get me off the couch if it was good, you know?
Mm.
You kind of just watching a lot of it passively. And, geez, you'd be half on your phone, talking to people about the game, looking up, watching the game back down. I think if you win at Anfield and a team that you support, any team that you support, there's still something about that.
Yeah. United nearly won there last year.
2-2. So Harry Maguire, last kick of the game, one of the last. Joshua Zirkzee squares it to him, but it bounces up. In fairness, Virgil van Dijk had a header right before that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nil all at half time. Rasmus Højlund had a 1-1. And Lisandro Martinez put United ahead. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then Liverpool equalised. Salah got a penalty to put them 2-1 ahead. And then Ahmad. Remember Ahmad was doing Ahmad things last season for United.
Yeah.
And so it was so close last season.
Yeah. These are the games United have done all right in over the last couple of years.
I was going to say, do you have hope going into this, like, of a win?
Well, they're in unprecedented territory, Liverpool under Arne Slot. 3 defeats in a row, that hasn't happened.
It's a good time to play them, or maybe a bad time to play them.
No, they've had the break.
Maybe
a
bad time.
And it's just, I always think the first weekend after the international break, it's kind of hard to tell because there's different levels of fatigue depending on where you're coming from.
Mm.
Who you've represented could be all over the shop.
I think I'm right in saying Amorim still hasn't won 2 Premier League games in a row.
You'd be right, yeah.
Which
you'd be right. But I mean, it's weird because there was the 2-2 at Anfield, and then they win at the Etihad. Despite the obvious misery under Amorim, but there are those weird examples that it went all right.
The aforementioned Lisandro Martinez, like, I think a lot of United fans are just waiting to hear.
Gone.
When is this guy back?
I watched highlights back of this game yesterday. And the amount of players who aren't there now. It's mad. It's unrecognisable at times because you have Onana in goal, Højlund up front, Lisandro Martinez, who is unavailable because permanent fact. There's a lot of change.
Garnacho, was he playing maybe?
Garnacho, he played. Set up a mad goal.
He's right, yeah. Yeah, it's a funny fixture.
And it was actually this year. It was in January.
Yeah.
Not so much has changed.
At the start of the season, everyone was like, well, this is Liverpool's Premier League to probably lose. And then Isak comes on board and you're thinking that's it. But they kind of scraped over the line in a few games. Even though the late penalty against Burnley at Turf Moor. And they've had a couple of games like that. But then again, that's what champions do, get over the line in tight games of football. But they certainly have shown a few weaknesses, Liverpool. And I don't know if Manchester United are the team to capitalise on those weaknesses, to be honest, but it definitely makes it a more interesting fixture than when I was looking at this fixture at the start of the season. I was thinking, well, that's 2-3-0 Liverpool written all over, and it still might well be, but there's a little bit more, you know, balance about the whole thing. Because
how do you see the game going? It's such a random fixture though, isn't it? No two games are the same with this fixture.
No. United are just too hard to predict, aren't they? Like, generally, like the Chelsea performance was fairly decent, albeit again with a man extra. Played all right in patches, but ultimately they've had some horrendous games as well this season. I don't know. I find it hard to say. Like it's one of those games I probably call as a draw. Maybe a score draw, 1-1 or something like that. But Liverpool will be rightly favourites. I mean, United fans would take your arm off for a draw.
Oh yeah.
But if they played against Brentford.
I love that phrase. It's so violent, isn't it?
Which phrase?
Snap your hand off.
Snap your hand off. Bite snap your arm off.
It's only a game.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool might win.
You think Liverpool might win?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think they might win, you know. Speaking of, how do I segue this?
You're a good man for a segue.
Speaking of events. Ireland.
Oof. I like the way you did that.
I don't know.
It's a horrendous segue. Speaking of Ireland,
that was the joke.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Were Ireland very good?
Very good. I haven't been on since the Armenia game.
Would anybody want to Shane's view on this? Because you were quite strong. Shane was very strong between the Hungary and Armenia games on the radio.
Mm.
You weren't having it.
What? Wasn't having Ireland?
No. So what? How are you feeling now? Because we've heard from Keith, we've heard from us.
Yeah, give us something here.
Yeah, well, come on, man.
I don't know. Like even after the Portugal near draw, I still was very, very unconfident that Ireland would put in a performance against Armenia. The game probably went as most of us would have expected. Ireland scrape a win, but if you told me that Ireland would play majority of the second half with a man extra, and still only scrape a 1-0 win, I'd have been like, Jesus, that this is. Hisper.
What about all the chances that they missed at the goalkeeper save?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's another aspect of Ireland's performance.
Do you know when people say, like, oh, they missed those two chances, that's 3-0? Well, it's not, because it's a butterfly effect, because you have to tip off and everything changes. But, notwithstanding, had they won 3-0, because they were about three goals better off in the end, in terms of chances, would you have the same feeling?
This is going to be over in the first game in November. We're going to have nothing to play for in Budapest. That's my view.
So we need to get something against Portugal. And even 100%. Then, even if Hungary beat Armenia before that game the same day, we need a miracle away to Hungary. Yeah. Because we need to beat them well because of goal difference.
Exactly.
Hungary's draw with Portugal
was just killer.
So they're two goals better off as well.
Yeah.
And when's the last time we scored two goals? Well, outside of Gibraltar, you're talking about. Few years.
Yeah. Hungary won't make the same mistake we made in Armenia. And, like, there's no chance that they don't go into that game. They're going to be talking about the fact that let's just win this game, lads. Ireland are home to Portugal. If they don't win, we're in the playoffs. So I just can't. I can't see it. I think Irish heads could drop. I think, you know, you don't want to go behind too early against Portugal in the next game, but I just have a fear that that's going to happen. Portugal, any level of surprise that we had going to Lisbon the last day is gone out the window.
Disappointed you most against Armenia? Is it our shape? Is it our play on the ball?
We just look weak. And like when you have little moments like Malumbi, you know, cheering a throw-in as he did. I know he's trying to get the crowd up and stuff, but like when you have moments like that are all people are talking about after a match, that leaves you with more question marks. Like again, Kelleher with a couple of decent saves, but Armenia, I still felt even at 1-0, I felt with a man extra, I felt like Armenia possibly could score here out of almost nothing. I don't know. There's just something with this Irish team. I think Armenia is our level at the moment. Like, to lose to them away, to sneak past them at home, I think that's where we were at, and we find that hard to accept as Irish football fans.
Would you have the system the same? Would you change it? Any personnel that are obviously omitted that should be in?
Not particularly.
The answers to these questions aren't that straightforward.
No, I had no issue with Eamonn Hallgrimsson's starting team. I had actually no issue with the substitutions he made. So, like, I don't put a hell of a lot of blame on Eamonn Hallgrimsson. These are the cards he's been dealt. Like, will a Damien Duff or a Roy Keane or someone come in and get immediate success? I don't know. And yet, all this negativity, and if the Republic of Ireland, they are 90 minutes away from the entire attitude around this team changing. Like, say they get a draw against Portugal, or miraculously a win in Dublin. Like, all of a sudden, the tails go up for the team, and they go into that game in Budapest with expectation or hope of getting something. So, I don't know. It's a funny one. The Irish team have never not been 90 minutes away from everything changing. But I just can't see that 90 minutes happening with this team. I don't know.
Who would
Sorry
you get
to end on a negative note. Who would I which?
Who would you replace Hargimson with?
I mean, from an absolute juiciness perspective, Roy Keane, but from a practical perspective, Damien Duff.
Do you think people now are more in favour of Roy Keane than a few years ago because of his media duties?
Possibly.
What else is there to go on?
Yeah, there's not a hell of a lot. Like, he's obviously had success within an Irish setup under Martin O'Neill and as a player.
But in more recent times.
Yeah.
When he left, there wasn't a clamour to get him back.
It's almost the fact that we've tried different things. We've tried the Irish coach from the League of Ireland and Stephen Kenny. You know, we've gone back to Mick McCarthy. We've had Martin O'Neill, and now we've tried someone who no one had heard of in Hemer Helgumson, and none of them have really, really worked. Martin O'Neill obviously had success at Euros, but Roy Keane is like the Jesus. Let's just try. You know, you watch traders, celebrity traders. So like sometimes someone just comes into the show and just rips up the script and says, I'm going to go try a different approach here. Roy Keane is that different approach.
So in this world of like deep analysis, analytics available to go data on all that, the key feeling here is, why not?
Yeah.
But that's true, isn't
Which
it?
Is not
that
scientific,
is true.
Yeah.
But that is the big sentiment of Roy Keane.
Well, I think things are so bad already, like, why not?
That's
if it's going to be bad, at least
why
make
not?
It entertaining. Like,
they might play the same, but it'll be a bit of crack.
Let's have some fun press conferences and interviews, you know?
All right.
It's a fair point. So as we breakfast with UPMC Orthopaedic Care, when things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.